Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. I'm your host, Adrian Conway. Welcome to another episode of Rise and Pod. Today, we're back on this programming grind. We're talking a little bit about the way that you attack day in and day out training. There are a couple things that I wanted to hit on and kind of rant on a little bit. So bear with me here, but it's going to be a shorter, longer formatted podcast. I only got about 15 or 20 minutes. So I wanted to make sure I connected with you guys and elaborated just a touch on one of the posts that I had on social media recently. I believe that when this podcast goes to air, it will have been yesterday or the day before that, you know, it had gotten most of its engagement. The tweet that I posted on Instagram, so you can find it there, also states that train so you can compete at a specific date. Don't compete every day you train. A small shift in mindset can create the mental freedom needed to have more patience, less stress, and a better long-term understanding of sharpening the sword in training, not always testing it. I think the quote kind of says it enough, but there's also a bit of confusion on who this might be for. And I say that because within the CrossFit space, you know that the sport in itself, the CrossFit Games at a very high level, originated through the community and through the methodology. It is a training program, constantly varied functional movements executed at high intensities, works tremendously for the general population. It works for any and every person that chooses to utilize it to enhance their health, to increase their work capacity across broad time and modal domains. Like the stuff, the proof is in the pudding, folks. Since 2001 onward, we have thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of case studies that you can go research on. But to train for the sport at the CrossFit Games level, you build a fitness that demands a unique set of skills, a unique capacity and strength, and a unique capacity in aerobic power or aerobic stamina, anaerobic output. Like there are many varieties of things that are asked and demanded of our athletes. The reason I made the tweet is because, and I posted it to Instagram, I felt it was that valuable, is because as you train for a high level, so this part of the discussion is to the everyday athlete that might not understand my methodology, or I'm sorry, my expression in word. Someone literally said to me, you know, Adrian, this actually opposes that rogue shirt that says compete every day. And I want to be clear that I don't mean that you shouldn't have some type of competitive nature every day. If you want to be successful in anything that you do, that nature exists within you. You don't have to have it drawn out. You don't have to have on your favorite song. You don't have to have your enemy in the room. You don't have to be surrounded by people. If you will excel at anything, whatever it is that you're pursuing, the competitive nature is so strong in you that you most likely have to be told to draw back a little, to back down a little. I have yet to interact with anyone that competes at a very high level. And I'm not saying that this person or this type of person doesn't exist. But within our space, within the CrossFit Games space that I've worked in since 2011, it is now 2023, folks. I've yet to see a games athlete that needs to be told to go harder. I just haven't. And I'm sure that they likely have existed in some camp or under some coach or as some affiliate. Not in any of mine or any that I rub shoulders with or have witnessed or watch train or cover from a commentary perspective or have sat down and had an interview with. So the value of this tweet is a reminder to athletes that are on that grind, that are so obsessive about their training, they're almost willing to do anything, hopefully accept, cheat, and break the rules to achieve the level of success that they desire. Not only do they have these desires, but they also have and tend to have this addictive-based personality, particularly with exercise. Now, I don't necessarily mean with alcohol or with drugs, although there seems to be some parallels where people who have obsessive and or addictive personalities with extracurricular activities is what I'll call them, also tend to have the same type of elicited response to the gains they find in the gym or the response of becoming lean, or the response of being successful at a high level in competition. But the tweet was for them to be reminded that every day they actually cannot go into the gym like they're about to compete. They cannot go into the gym with the mindset to kill and to slay and to dominate. I don't want them to lose that edge, but I also want them to understand that there are some days that need to be just days. And it's not because you'll struggle, because that's inherently true. Not every day is a sunny day. Some days are just days, and it helps when the sun is shining for us to recognize it that much more. But the tweet about understanding you need to train for a specific date so you can compete is to free the physiology in their body and in their mind and in their brain and in their stress levels to balance their hormones. If every day we walk into the gym, it is a fight or flight experience, we will burn out quickly. We will become injured. The hormonal responses that take place can be devastating in regards to demanding the needed nutrients or the time away from the gym to recover from that stuff. So some days they need to be told to back off. And so the idea of sharpening the sword is that you must spend more time honing in on your weapons, diversifying your toolkit, more tools in the tool belt, whatever you want to say. I like sharpening the sword. But you've got to polish the sword. You've got to sharpen the sword. You've got to think about how you want it to be designed. Is there a new type of addition that you can make to your sword that makes it that much more dangerous? Because what I find in our space is that athletes have the desire to make it to the semifinal level, for example. Because this is going to be the CrossFit Games for a lot of people in our space that have a lot of fitness, right? I mean, people are going to be extremely fit, and have limitations on what they will achieve in this space because it's the 0.0001 that's going to make it to the CrossFit Games. So I say that because their eyes are on competing RX or Elite at Wodapalooza, competing one day, maybe even at Rogue, because there's going to be athletes that make it to Rogue that won't make it to the CrossFit Games in within their career. I'm confident in that. It's that tough of a space. It's going to be athletes that want to go to any elite level, Crash Crucible. Good night. There's a lot of competitions popping up, folks, that are great. And I'm going to leave a ton in not mentioning them. So forgive me. But these athletes that have the desire to compete in these spaces, what they want to do is they want to go burn it down. They want to go do constantly varied functional movements at high intensity because they know that's what got them the fitness, or they know that's what they're good at. But in order to enhance specific focuses within that constantly varied functional movements at high intensity, they might need to hone in on skill work. They might need to broaden their aerobic base. They might need to get stronger. And as they do that, they need to also tamper the intensity that they pursue every day. Just because you're trying to get stronger cannot be 90% plus. It can't be RPE 9 out of 10. It can't be 8 out of 10 RPE every day. All these things need to be tweaked. That's why high-level achievers are now starting to seek the guidance and invest in their career and longevity by hiring a coach, because the coach tends to know what is best. If they've been in the space for a while, they understand the balance of intensity versus volume, who needs what and when, because it's all different. I want to help everyone understand as well in this conversation that the fittest in the world train very different than those trying to be the fittest in the world. When I categorize the fittest in the world, what I mean is those athletes that are perennial games athletes that don't necessarily stress about getting to semifinals and don't necessarily even stress getting to the CrossFit Games. Those are the fittest on earth. And that's not a ton of athletes. But these athletes are playing with a full deck of cards. They've got the aerobic capacity to be fit enough to get there. They've got the strength to be fit enough to get there, and they've got the ability to put it all together, and they've got the gymnastic skills to get to the CrossFit Games each year. Their training's different than everyone else. Everyone else has to fill one, if not all three of those voids, and do it to gain on the fittest on earth. Well, folks, to gain in any particular endeavor, gymnastics, conditioning, or weight training, it takes intensity. Just like what Greg Glassman talked about years and years ago, just like we repeat at the level one seminar, intensity is the independent variable most commonly associated with maximizing the rate of return on favorable adaptations. That means intensity gives you the good stuff. It's how we elicit change, particularly when we're thinking about organic tissue change, right? Down to the cellular level, you got to go with intensity. But the training with that type of intensity and in the hopes to make true progress, it takes intensity and recovery. There's balance. What that can't mean is that your training is then structured with all this fluff volume. You're not at that point getting reps to get reps and getting reps to get more reps, because you need to rest to make change. And then you need to test to test your fruits. And then you've got to reload and recycle in order to do it again, because, well, you're still not done. You got to get even better. Folks, in our space, this is a hard realization, but in our space, the rich get richer. You see, because when you've established yourself as one of the fittest on earth, if you're under the proper tutelage, if you're under the proper guidance, what you get to then do is accumulate volume. You get to play with intensities, and they're not always high. You need to touch high intensities periodically, but you don't need to put yourself at risk. You need to touch in high intensities periodically, but it needs to be closer only when it's time to get ready to compete. Throughout the rest of the year, you're touching on refining lifts. You don't need to train at high percentages. You can accrue volume because your training intensity is lower. So every day you can do a little bit more with a little less recovery. And what are you doing? You're amassing work. You're growing your work capacity in hopes that you'll be able to now hit lifts when you're tired. You'll be able to now hit lifts after 4 days of a very hard competition because, well, you can handle 90% on a regular basis now of your one rep max without even flinching or thinking about it, right? So when I say that training is different, folks, it's really different. And there's levels to it. And not everybody needs the same type of training all the time. And you shouldn't really be doing it. I know that you'll hear me a lot do this as I'll continue to post these episodes that are kind of diversified on the levels within our space that I've seen throughout the years, putting them in basic terminology to so that everyone can understand. Why does Tia Claire Toomey train like this? Well, why did Matt Frazier train like that? Well, why does it work for Rich Froning and the Mayhem Crew so much? Well, you start to understand, right? What I want you to understand is when Rich Froning became great in 2011, and he was great in 2010, but when he really started his greatness in 2011, Rich Froning was the best mover in our space. Rich Froning, only thing he lacked in 2010 was climbing a rope. Rich Froning had a beautiful squat snatch even when the barbell wasn't making contact with his body when first time he was doing a manned out there in 2010 on the competition floor. Rich Froning, when it comes to anthropometrics, measures up really well for our sport. Height, torso length, arm length relative to his torso length, femur length relative to his torso length, right? Like that optimizes a lot of positions for him. When he catches a snatch, when he catches a clean, boy, that pocket for his hips to sit in between his heels, that's a nice one to sit down. You can be very strong. It's not that the load does not deviate far from the frontal plane. This is going to be mean nothing to some of you listening to me, but to you that understand exercise and training, it's going to mean a lot. Matt Frazier has similar stature. Tia Claire Toomey, guess what? Similar stature. Folks, when they train, the load on their wrists, their shoulders, their ankles, their hips, and their knees is very different than me. It's very different than you. It's very different than everyone else, especially even someone at the same build or smaller build or more perfect build that doesn't move as well and invest in the time and focus and effort and energy and the efficiency and proficiency of the movement, it costs you. And volume adds up on your body, and then your knee is achy, and then your shoulder across your plane. So your right knee is achy, but then your left shoulder gets achy, and then you start to understand about how the body works unilaterally and how we tend to compensate for certain movement patterns. Imagine doing that for 100 days straight, and you're following the same program as someone who doesn't do that for 100 days straight. They're sound in their mechanics. You're devastated and wrecked and injured, and they're stronger and fitter and healthier. You see, there are things that must be considered at a high level that I still don't think many athletes are considering in our space. And unless you become an educated person through experience watching athletes move hours and hours and hours and hours and years and years and years and years, or you invest in a coach, how would you even consider it? Right? Unless you've studied a little bit of biomechanics and exercise phys and understand points of leverage and load, and you understand recovery times and how to strengthen tendons and all the different things that come with the science of programming, I don't think that no matter how much you understand or think you understand, the art of CrossFit programming will matter. There is an art to CrossFit programming too, and I want to make that clear. I think that there's an art that really does help refine athletes for sport in our space. It's understanding pattern. It's picking up on redundancies. It's honestly having a vision for the unknown and unknowable. It takes creativity and it takes a bit of fantasy. I know it sounds weird and I'm probably putting this in a way that many might not understand, but you can't just be a book nerd and coach people to the CrossFit Games, right? There's this creative side of you, an adventurous side of you, a storytelling side of you, I think, as a good coach or a programmer that has to exist. Otherwise, you'll stick to too many rules. And we've seen in our space that there are no rules. We are training for the untrainable, and there are things that we can pick up on and things that, of course, we have a strong understanding for, but you've got to have that. So if you're out there programming for yourself, if you're out there following a program, understand that you won't respond the same way to the training that I do. You won't respond to the same way to the training that Tia does. You won't respond to the same way that Matt did, that Mal did, that anyone does. Annie Thorstadter, Laura Horvath, Ben Smith. You've got to have an understanding of where your limitations are. It's really important if you're a competitor in the space to know that you cannot walk in the gym every day fight or flight. Some days you got to do skills and drills. Some days you need to play no music. Some days you need to be focused and calm. And there are the days you got to rip it down and tear it down and compete, because that's where we flex our ability to compete. And that's, of course, why we train the way we train. On most days, you need to be sharpening your sword and not trying to kill. If you're young in the space, you need intensity because you need to move the needle to catch those that are already the fittest. I'm not saying you can't do double days. And I'm not saying that you can't do strength pieces and then a couple conditioning pieces, but you need to be mindful of why and how you do everything. Because if you're not recovering and all you're doing is whatever you see everyone else doing, they're going to continue to get better than you. And catching them will be that much harder. And it will take you biting the bullet and making a hard choice of, man, I'm not in the best shape of my life right now, though. So what? Are you about to throw down tomorrow or in 2 weeks? 6 weeks, 8 weeks, plenty of time for you to catch where you need to be for the conditioning that we do in our space. Now, again, if that's your weakness, though, that's where your focus needs to be. That might mean your strength's going to take a hit, though. Right? And vice versa and all around, if it's skills and drills. And you guys get it. Listen, there's a compromise in this fitness game. You cannot serve two masters wholeheartedly at once. It's not the way it works. If you are a vet in the space and you're in a good spot, the rich get richer, be mindful of your durability. Train your movement quality so you can continue to amass the reps and amass the volume to keep the youngsters at bay, because they're coming. And the ones that are willing to invest in their journey and invest in a coach that sees them for the weaknesses that they have and sees them for the mindset and development that they need and can push the right buttons. The evolution of our sport continues to get shorter and shorter, right? In regards to an athlete going from point A to point B, boy, we can close the gap on that very quickly. I can take a male from overhead squatting 200 pounds to 300 pounds in a way shorter window than I could 10 years ago. And it's only because the knowledge has continued to grow over time. And of course, athletes and their exposures and the resources and everything else. But also at the tip top tippy spear up there, the fitness is just still climbing. And these athletes are becoming more savvy on how to take care of their body. They have the resources when they're sponsored to allocate all of their time to being a business, their body, their social media, their mindset, and their training. All in all, folks, I hope that you guys enjoyed this. I told you only had about 20 minutes and I'm about nailing it to a T. But keep in mind, sharpen that sword a little bit more often, polish that sword a little bit more often, and continue to diversify the tools in the tool belt. And every now and again, get with the peers, throw down, test it, and develop that psychological advantage that you need in order to be a competitor. But hope you guys enjoyed this. We'll see you next time. Keep rising.